This is Out of School, a podcast at the intersection of technology and education. My name is Fraser Spears, and I am flying the show solo tonight. This is one of our summer shows where Bradley and I are often off in different places at different times. So today, what I thought I would do is I've been working on our deployment, but I've also been working on a number of blog posts, and this podcast is essentially a kind of first draft of a blog post that I'm working on called Towards Zero Touch Deployment for iOS. And what I thought we'd do is just talk a little bit about some of the benefits of trying to aim for zero touch deployment and whether or not it's actually possible right now, given the current state of technologies with iOS 9.3 and the various MDM solutions that are available to us and so on. So we've got two sponsors for the show, and they're great sponsors given the topic. First is Jam Software, makers of the Casper Suite, as you know, and secondly, XMA, a great team of Apple resellers in the UK who can definitely help you with some of this stuff if it's a little bit beyond the kind of things that you are part of your core competency, if you like, right now. So let's talk about zero touch. You know, why aim for zero touch deployment when we get into dealing with iPads? So what I would say here is that really, the holy grail of iPad deployment for years and years has been to never have to touch the glass on any individual device. Now, in earlier times, you know, setting up an iOS deployment really required a lot of individual tweaking on devices. There were a number of things you could set up, and you could apply configuration profiles and so on. But basically, those profiles weren't very powerful. There weren't enough hooks in iOS to really let you manage everything you want to manage. And then there were things that you definitely wanted to change that you had to, you know, go into settings and change this thing on every single device to get it set up the way you wanted it. Today it's far easier to avoid touching glass on devices, but it's still not perfect yet. Zero touch deployment really provides essentially these following advantages. Firstly, it's faster, right? If you don't have to pick up and touch every single iPad, and I'm only deploying 125 this summer. If you're deploying 500 or 1,000, some of these Teenix go from being desirable, as they are for me, to absolutely essential. You know, if you have to touch the glass of 1,000 different iPads before you can roll them out, that's not really going to work for you. Another reason that zero touch deployment is great is that you're less likely to damage a device in handling it as part of your deployment. So if you don't really have to, you know, pick them up and put them down and touch them and do stuff, you're less likely to drop it and break it. Really, it seems like a simple thing, but it's something that people don't always consider. At a more kind of theoretical level, from a systems administration point of view, though, having a zero touch deployment leads you to a higher level of consistency in your configuration. And that's something we always should aim for in systems administration, is to have things as consistent as possible, because that leads to simpler administration, lower costs, and more reproducibility in your deployment. Because if you're not doing anything special to any one device, you're not really likely to forget something or do the steps in a different order and somehow get a different result. Because if you have automated this all, then you're in good shape. You can plug in any device and then you'll get the same setup, basically. Apple has built a number of enhancements to iOS over the years to get us closer to zero-touch deployment. The first of these, the one that really changes the game for me, is the device enrollment program. This allows you to avoid having to enter any MDM credentials or URLs, or even having to accept the terms and conditions on each device. The next technology is device assignment for apps, so that you don't have to have an Apple ID set up on the device. You don't have to enter a password, for example, on the screen of the device. You can deploy apps to a device without ever having done that. And finally, Apple has provided a number of much deeper configuration hooks. So those things that I mentioned that once needed manual setup on device can now mostly be configured remotely. And that, of course, works alongside the device enrollment program, which enforces the device has an MDM profile installed and will keep it installed. So you can rely on that, and then you can be sure that you can deploy these profiles over the air in such a way that you're going to get the device you want to have. When I think about iOS deployment or setup, really, I think about really five phases of setup. We're not going to talk about all of them tonight because that would probably be two shows worth. But if you think about it, there's really five steps to going from a device that's in the box to a device that's ready for a user. And the first, of course, is physical setup. And at its most basic level, that means unwrapping the device and turning it on. Probably putting it in a case, maybe putting a label on it, although perhaps less nowadays that we can use soft labels on the home screen of the device. The next step is you've got device enrollment-based enrollment in MDM. Now, if you live in a country where a device enrollment program isn't available, you can actually more or less fake it with Apple Configurator. It's not quite the same, but it takes a reasonable number of steps away from manually enrolling those devices. Third step is user assignment. And what I mean by that is, how do you connect a device that you've taken out of the box, which may be enrolled in your MDM, but maybe isn't named, you just know it by a serial number. How do you make that Joe Blogs' iPad? What do you do in your MDM to make that happen? That's one of the topics we're not going to talk about today, but it's something that's worth thinking about. And it's something that if your MDM solution provides you access to maybe a scripting layer below the user interface, that might be a useful thing to start to get to learn as well. Fourth step is device configuration. And what I mean by this is that this is the layer at which you apply configuration profiles. So if you want to disable FaceTime and iMessage, for example, or you want to put in place a VPN profile, or if you want to set the wallpaper a certain way, or apply a home screen configuration or something like that, that's where all of these things happen. And then the last step is what I call content deployment. And by content, I mean usually apps, but also potentially ebooks as well, that you might want to get onto those devices. And that tends to be the most heavyweight step because, of course, the apps and the books are the objects that eat up most of the data space on the iPad. The rest of that stuff is very, very quick and easy because it's just small amounts of data being transferred over to the device, whereas content deployment is, that's the big load being transferred to the devices. We'll talk about when and how and why we do that later on. So one of the contentions I have about systems administration is that it's a user interface design problem. It's an experience design problem. It's maybe not quite as glamorous as being an experienced designer at Disney World, but for me, it's the closest I'm probably ever going to get to imagineering a solution, if you like. The way I look at it is your job is to get the things you want in place without ruining the day for your users. And that's really how I think about systems administration, is that you're designing an experience for the user. And we've all used systems and networks where people have taken no consideration for user experience whatsoever. You remember in the earlier days of mobile devices, Wi-Fi networks where you had to reconnect manually to the Wi-Fi every time your iPhone went to sleep and things like that. Hopefully those days are mostly behind us now, but sometimes you still run into problems like that. So how can we take setup design seriously to help us get to zero touch deployment? Well, there's really three ways that you can design the setup for an iOS device. The first is you can look at trying to get to a stage where your device is fully configured before delivery. And what I mean by that is that it's set up, the setup assistant is complete, it's enrolled in MDM, content has been through all those five phases up to content deployment, where you're looking at an iPad that is assigned to a user, it has all the configuration profiles on it, and it has the content that you need on that device. That is a noble aim, and that's really where I've always gone to with iOS deployment before, is trying to get to the point where my devices are fully configured and the kids can just come in and pick them up and use them. I would say that's still the best approach for younger users. So if you're deploying iPads to 5 and 6-year-olds, having them come in on their first day of school and then sit down and try and go through a device setup process and follow a teacher is not going to happen. So I think that fully configured before delivery is a great approach when you're dealing with younger users. It's also a very good idea if you are in a situation where you're deploying very, very heavy app loads. Because if you think about it, day one of school, if everybody comes in, sets up their device, and starts sucking down huge multi-gigabyte applications, your network's not going to cope with that. So in your deployment phase, it would be a really good idea, if it's at all possible, to pre-position as many of those big apps as you can. And I'm thinking about this in terms of things like iMovie, about a 600 plus megabyte application, GarageBand over a gigabyte. You know, if you add up all of the iLife applications, all of the iWork applications, and maybe the Microsoft Office applications as well, you're looking at a couple of gigabytes going over the air to every device. So insofar as possible, I'm going to try and take that load off of our first day on the network and try and pre-position as many of those as I can. That's fully configured before delivery. There's another step you can take, which is I'm calling it partially configured before delivery. So this is where configuration profiles will be applied, but apps have not been installed. And typically the way you'll hand the device over to the user is it will still look like it is in the setup screen. Some of the panes might be set to be skipped. You can do that with device enrollment programs. We'll talk about that in a minute. Basically, what you're going to, the user is going to see is they're going to go through a restricted number of setup screens on the iPad. And then when they get into the home screen of the device, what they'll find is that the configurations and restrictions that you've applied are already there. So if, for example, you are blocking FaceTime and iMessage, once the user completes the setup assistant, the first screen they see will not have FaceTime and iMessage on it because you've already blocked those by configuration before you get there. What the user will not see, though, is if you are automatically pushing any apps to those devices, you will not have pushed them yet. And this is good in situations where most of your apps will be chosen by the users rather than delivered all at once. So if you are in a situation where you know every app that's going to be on every iPad, maybe you can fully configure them before delivery. What I'm trying to move towards in our school, though, is a very small core set of what we're calling auto-install apps. These are the apps that will automatically push to every supervised iPad that enrolls. There's maybe 8 or 10 of those apps. They include things like iTunes U, Notability, PDF Expert, Google Drive would be another one, Pages and Keynote, and so on. But for all of the other apps, what I'm looking at doing is I'm looking at just putting them into Casper Suite's self-service application. This is an app that appears on an enrolled iPad, and it basically works like a private app store. So you've paid for these apps by VPP. The users can go in and they can request that your MDM server will push those apps to their device. And that's what I'm trying to do because I don't want to put too many apps on at once. I only want the users to pull those apps on that they need. But I do want to know that the security profiles and the restrictions that I'm putting in place are there before the user comes along, regardless of whether there are any useful apps on the device at the time. One of those situations you have to be a little bit careful about is if you are going to bring all the pupils into the assembly hall to do the iPad deployment, and they all hit that button in sync as you're walking them through the setup assistant, you're going to trigger a massive spike in traffic to your MDM and then from there to your caching servers. So you're going to want to have good caching in place and be sure that the cache is warmed up with the latest versions of, or the current versions of those apps that you're trying to install. The third kind of setup design that you can do is what I'm sort of calling pre-staged before delivery. And this, what this is basically, this is the iPad in the box scenario. You know, if you've ever been to an Apple deployment seminar, you've heard them talk about things like you can give a user a shrink-wrapped iPhone in a box and they can open it up and turn it on and set it up and it will automatically be under your management. That's true. That can be done. But I would say that this is best for adult users and maybe older young people. It's also advisable when you're using managed Apple ID due to the way that the password reset flow works for Apple ID. We'll talk about that in a little minute. But as long as your devices are in device enrollment, it's pretty difficult to screw up, even for a determined young person, shall we say. You can hand over a box and the adult user or the older student can just set that up themselves probably. The only thing you need to know is you need to know what serial number went to what person so that later on when you do that user assignment part in your MDM, you can accurately capture the fact that this user got this device. That's something that you just have to manage as part of your process. But you can do any one of these approaches. So we've got pre-staged before delivery where basically you don't touch the device at all and the user initiates the enrollment. You've got partially configured before delivery where there are configuration profiles in place, but no apps. And then you've got fully configured before delivery where there are profiles, apps, and the setup is complete. The device is ready to use before you hand it out to the student. Let me take a minute here and talk to you about perhaps the most appropriate sponsor of all time, Jam Software. Jam Software provide IT staff with enterprise tools that power widespread use of Apple technology, such as Macs, iPad, iPhone, and even Apple TV in education. Now with Casper Focus, they have placed these technologies right into the hands of teachers who work with students every day. Now, Casper Focus is a tool that allows teachers to quickly gain students' attention, conduct secure exams within an app, select the specific Apple TV assigned to their class, distribute iBooks, and even begin AirPlay right from Casper Focus. You can learn what else you could do with Casper Focus at jamsoftware.com. And of course, the whole Casper suite is one of these tools that is, you know, absolutely central to the kind of thing we're talking about today. So this whole story about zero-touch deployment totally depends on an MDM solution. And my experience has been, and Bradley's experience as well, has been that the Casper suite is absolutely the gold standard in iOS MDM systems. I tweeted recently, and it's true, that this is the use of Casper suite is really non-negotiable for me in iPad deployment. I would not want to do a deployment without Casper suite. So thank you to Jam Software for sponsoring Out of School this week. And let's keep talking about what we're doing with our MDM as part of deployment. So let's talk about the device enrollment program and the concept of pre-stage deployment. So pre-stage is a term that's used to talk about a certain phase of the device enrollment program. So you have when you order iPads from Apple, or phones for that matter, the serial numbers are assigned to your account. And through the device enrollment portal, or later Apple School Manager, once you've got access to that, what you do then is you say to Apple, all these serial numbers should be redirected to this MDM server. Now, for smaller organizations like our school, we have one MDM server assigned for all our devices because we only have one MDM server. But say you were, say, a school district and you maybe ran one MDM server for every school in the district, but you were buying the devices centrally. That's why it would make sense to have this extra layer, because you might say, right, this block of serial numbers are all getting shipped to this high school, this block of serial numbers are getting shipped to that high school, and so on. Once you've made that connection inside Apple's deployment program, the rest of the work is over to your MDM. So what the first step that a device hits in your MDM is to go through what's called a pre-stage process or pre-stage enrollment. And this is where you use your MDM to design the setup experience for users, or indeed for admins if you're going to set up the devices for younger users. There's a couple of things you can decide in pre-stage enrollment. And you can have multiple, right? You can actually design, for example, we might design for our younger users who aren't going to use an Apple ID at all, we might design a very simple set of steps, a very restricted set of steps that they have to go through and set up, and then they will be enrolled in the MDM. For other users, you might provide them most of the setup panels, but maybe skip one or two that you know are not appropriate. For example, maybe Apple Pay isn't appropriate for your situation. So firstly, you can, in the pre-stage phase in your MDM, you can turn on supervision for devices. This is one of the great things about the device enrollment program, is you can supervise a device over the air. So without ever plugging in, you can get your devices supervised, which is great. You can also do things like prevent MDM profile removal, which has been something that we've wanted forever. This has been at the root of some of the bigger problems in iOS deployments that have gone wrong, is that people didn't understand that this was the only way that you could stop people taking the device out of your control, basically. And finally, you can make the MDM profile mandatory so that users can't actually progress through the setup assistant without accepting your MDM profile. So it doesn't become optional. Of course, if you have devices that you don't care about any of this stuff, even if they're in device enrollment, you don't have to supervise them, you don't have to enroll them in your MDM, and you don't have to enforce it if you don't want to. But assuming you are going to enroll in MDM, which of course you should, the other thing you can do with the pre-stage is you can choose which of the setup panels in the iOS the setup assistant you want to present to the user and which ones you want to skip. So you can skip, here's a list of the ones you can skip. You can skip location services, device restore, signing in with an Apple ID, terms and conditions panel, Siri setup panel, diagnostics panel, passcode setup panel, touch ID panel, Apple Pay, Zoom, that's the different screen views, and also the move from Android panel as well, which is probably not going to be appropriate for most school situations as well. The only one of these that I find actually problematic for skipping is location services. And for one, It can cause problems with some apps that expect location services to be on. It can also affect the time zone settings. So if you turn location services off by default, the automatically set time zone feature usually doesn't work. So I believe that's something that's being addressed in Apple newer versions of Apple Configurator. But right now, though, if you turn off location services, you may end up with devices on California time rather than on your local time zone. So what you can do here is you can use this to design a pre-stage workflow to go from turning on the device to having the setup assistant complete and enrolled in your MDM. Now, if you are looking at a situation where you are going to not use Apple IDs and just use device assignment for apps, the idea that apps are assigned to devices rather than users, then your pre-stage enrollment can be very, very minimal. I mean, realistically, the only one you would really want to have on there is location services, so you can have effectively a two-tap setup panel there. If you are using Apple IDs, you're of course going to want to have the Apple ID sign-in panel as part of the setup as well. If you're using Managed Apple ID, that's also important because there's a step in Managed Apple ID where when you create a Managed Apple ID, the user is given a temporary password and you can print out a nice little card that you can give to the user to use as a temporary password. But then the user has to choose their own password right in the setup assistant. They can't progress to sign in before they change their password. And that's actually built in to the setup assistant on iOS. So that's what you might want to do for your initial deployment. Say you're like I am, you're getting new devices, you might want to just have the Apple ID and the location services for older users. But of course, later in your deployment, you might want to also have the restore panel available to you. Because let's say, you know, you get four spare devices in a drawer, and then 6 months down the line, somebody comes to you with a broken iPad, and you pull out that device, and you say, okay, let's restore your iCloud backup. And then you go through the setup assistant and your pre-stage enrollment has said, oh, skip the restore panel. How are you going to do that? So what you can do is you can actually change the behavior of a pre-stage enrollment after rollout. So what I would probably do is I would just have the Apple ID panel and the location services panel for the first day of deployment. And once I've got them all out to everybody, I'll add in that restore panel again, so that in the middle of the deployment, if I need to re-enroll a device, I will also be given the option to restore from an iCloud backup if I might need that in the future. So don't forget you can change it after you start as well. Let's talk a little bit about Apple Configurator. Now, Bradley and I have given Apple Configurator a pretty hard time on the show over the past since the show started and B, Apple Configurator was available. At one point, I was really ready to kind of be done with Apple Configurators. We were moving to device enrollment. I thought, this is great. We no longer have to deal with anything to do with Apple Configurator. We'll never touch it again. Happy days. But two things have happened, really. One is that Apple Configurator 2 came out, and Apple Configurator 2 is really good. But also, it now integrates with device enrollment program as well. So let's say you're standing in a room with 125 iPads and you have to get them all into device enrollment. What are you going to do? Well, if you are determined not to use Apple Configurator, then what you're going to do is you're basically going to pick up every one of those devices one by one and you're going to put in a Wi-Fi credential, or at least connect, tell it what Wi-Fi network to connect to, and then go through and accept the enrollment profile, and then you get into the flow that you've designed in your pre-stage enrollment. But Apple Configurator 2 can actually jumpstart your device enrollment on multiple devices at once. So here's the idea. You create what's called a blueprint in Apple Configurator. This is basically a collection of actions that you want to do to a device. So you'd plug in however many your USB chain can support. I've done, you know, 20 to 25 iPads at once with Apple Configurator 2. Plug them all in, and then you just apply your blueprint to them. And what your blueprint is going to say, in this case, is you're just going to say, begin automated enrollment. This is something you do in the blueprint section. You go into the menu called, I think it's called modify, and then you do a prepare step, and then you set up your enrollment settings. And what happens there is that it will prompt you for a Wi-Fi network to connect all these devices to, configurator will connect all the devices to your Wi-Fi network and it will tell them all to start doing their device enrollment process. And this way, what you can do without ever touching the device apart from to plug in the cable, you can get all your devices up and enrolled into your MDM server. And this is a really nice way to do it because it means that you can get to the point where you can push configuration profiles to these devices, you can set their names, you can assign them to users without ever having touched them. The only thing you can't do is actually push apps to them. Now, Casper Suite will try and push an app to it, but it will fail because the setup assistant hasn't been completed yet. But you can push your profiles, and you can also you can manipulate the iPad in your MDM solution as well, which is really powerful. There's something else to be aware of when using Apple Configurator and device enrollment as well, which is that you can export what's called a supervision identity from Configurator and upload it to your MDM. And what this means is that if you say you later on get some more iPads and you just hand them out to users and they manually enroll them over the air, your MDM server can actually deliver that identity to the iPad. And that means that say the iPad breaks later on, you can bring it back to your Configurator Mac, plug it in, and the two will trust each other and know each other even though you've never plugged them together before, because they use the same supervision identity. And this is really great because, for example, one of the things you can do in Configurator 2 is you can plug in a device that has that supervision identity and you could just take a backup of the device, for example. That's something you could do. Or you could make one modification to it, or you could just update its operating system if it's having trouble downloading it over the internet or something like that. So that's something to be aware of before you get started, is you want to just export that supervision identity from Configurator, put it in your MDM, and then your devices can, you can deal with them through Configurator or through MDM, and each will trust the other. Let me take a moment to tell you about XMA and the XMA All Learn program. This episode is sponsored by XMA, a leading Apple solution expert for education. As an Apple solution expert for education, XMA are perfectly positioned to support your institution with the deployment of iPad and Mac. XMA have built upon their 30 years of experience to create the unique All Learn program. All Learn with Apple supports you with planning, financing, and managing your iPad and Mac deployment. XMA can also use their accredited trainers to deliver Apple professional development workshops to teachers and staff to ensure you get the best results from your Apple products. Visit xma.co.uk/out of school or follow them at wearexma to discover more about All Learn with Apple. And thank you to XMA for sponsoring the show. Okay, next step. We're going to talk a little bit about managed Apple ID setup. Now, I've been able to get access to Apple School Manager. We were migrated as one of the first schools to be migrated because we're helpfully quite small. We had four devices in device enrollment at the time. So we were able to transition, and it's looking good. There are things you might want it to do that it doesn't do yet, but it's certainly vastly preferable to any previous form of making Apple IDs that you know as an iOS administrator. But like I said earlier, when you create managed Apple IDs in Apple School Manager, the user is assigned a temporary password. And what you can do as an administrator is you can create you can print out a page that has, you know, the user's name on it and so on, and it tells them what their temporary password is. And when the user goes through setup, they'll be prompted to choose a permanent password according to policies set in Apple School Manager. So you can actually say, this user should have a 4-digit password or a 6-digit password or a standard alphanumeric password. And the reason they're allowing you to make simpler passwords is basically because the trusted status of your device enrollment device is taken as the essentially the second factor in two-factor authentication in that situation. This makes setup a little bit more difficult for admins, though, as you have to kind of go through a bit of hassle. If you are going to set up these devices for the users to the point where you've got them fully configured before delivery, what you've got to do then is you've got to touch the device, you've got to go through the setup assistant, you've got to go through the process of changing their temporary password to a permanent one, which you might want to do, right? Because one of the things that is often helpful when administering computers for younger users is that if they just use a password that you know, right? And instead of having to go through password reset and so on and so on, if you just know the password and you can deal with problems that they don't understand how to deal with. And this is one of a small criticism I have of the managed Apple ID system, is that it errs a little too far for me on the side of student privacy, or in the sense that if school administrators can be trusted with all the power that they have with a supervised and managed iPad that the pupil's using, surely they can be trusted with the access to the account that they made. You know, in Google Apps, we can either have a temporary password made or we can specify the password for the user. And that's something that I kind of wish we could do with managed Apple IDs as well, but it's not possible right now. Another thing to think about when it comes to your deployment is whether or not you're going to automatically install apps versus have the user select them. So we talked about this a little bit earlier on in terms of how are you going to configure the device for the user when they come in. But your deployment will probably call for some apps to be installed. And usually in a school, this would consist of installing the most common apps, the ones that maybe every pupil in the school uses, like Google Drive or iTunes U, let's say. You may also want to install the largest apps. So before, you know, the network gets busy, before all the users come back from the summer, you might want to have transferred those 1,000 copies of Keynote or those 1,000 copies of iMovie before, you know, the network's actually up to production speed again. You may then want to let the user select the rest. And this is kind of the way I'm going with our next deployment, is to have only take up the space on the device when the user knows about the need for the application. So instead of me pre-positioning, you know, all of iWork, all of Microsoft Office, let's say, if the user never needs numbers, let's say, why should I eat up, you know, a quarter gigabyte or whatever size numbers is now? On the other hand, though, for younger users, I would still definitely recommend automatically installing all of the required apps. Because if you think about being a teacher of 5 and 6 year olds, if part of your lesson involves everybody going into self-service and everybody getting the right app installed, the chances of that happening both correctly and in prompt time is pretty small. So you could probably do your teachers a favor there and just automatically install as many apps as they're looking for. The question, though, is do you do all of this immediately post-enrollment, or do you do it at some later date? And because this is another question, right, is that if you have a big deployment day, let's say you're trying to put out 500 devices in one day, do you really want to start pushing 500 iPads worth of apps on that day? Probably not. You're going to ask some questions about how well your infrastructure can support mass delivery of really large apps. Most people are probably going to have some kind of problem with that. If you need to deliver those apps before the device is deployed, you really need to get to the end of the setup assistant. And that's something you're going to have to touch the device. And maybe you touch it as part of the handing it out process rather than as, you know, go through the whole stack during the summer. But maybe you do that as well. Problem is, though, that MDM servers cannot install apps while the setup assistant is not complete. A second thing to think about, though, is if you are going to have users pick apps from a self-service system after deployment, you might want to think about not putting all the apps out there on the first day. And this is something that tripped me up the last time we did the deployment day, is that I basically set up a sweetie shop for kids, and they just went install, and they just installed everything. And my MDM server fell over, and the network fell over, and we didn't have caching server in those days, so it was all a mess. So what I'm planning to do this year is I've got those common apps that are going to be push installed to the device, and I'll put out a few others that I think people need. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, I'm going to move out more and more apps into self-service so that the initial kind of craze goes past, and then the users can go back and they can get the ones that they actually need as the teacher tells them that they need them. So that's kind of how I'm going to do it. I'm going to drip them out bit by bit over maybe 5 or 6 days so that we don't overload and kids don't just install things for the sake of installing things, but they actually install them when they need to install them, which I think is a useful way to think about trying not to tie up too much space on the device with apps that will never ever be launched. So to wrap up, what I'm really saying here is that zero-touch deployment is close. It's possible for the most able users, for older users, for adults. For younger users, it may be possible, not in the sense that the device never gets touched, but at least that maybe you, the system's administrator, don't touch it very much. What I expect to happen for my youngest users is I'm going to set those devices up from start to finish and they're going to be ready to use. For my middle school and lower high school kids, I'm probably going to do a bit of pre-positioning, but then I'll walk them through the setup for the rest on the first day of school. And then I don't think there's going to be anybody in the situation where we're going to just hand them over a shrink wrap box and they're going to set them up. But if you're in that situation, maybe you're working at university, maybe you're working at a company, that's kind of where you would go with that. The way I'm looking at it is that this pre-enrollment process is probably best when using Apple IDs. So I've got Apple Configurator ready to jumpstart my deployment, but I'm not going to complete the setup assistant for the users. I'm just going to let that happen when the kids come back to school. Full configuration isn't too much effort when you're not using Apple IDs. And this is where I think I'm going to set a lower cutoff for using managed Apple IDs, because I don't want to have to go through that process for what benefit, right? Those kids don't really have data that I need to back up. So iCloud backup's not super important. I can do lost mode from the MDM directly. I can assign apps without an Apple ID. Why do five-year-olds really need an Apple ID on their device? They really don't. So as a result, I can actually quite simply create a full configuration for those kids without using Apple IDs. So effectively, it's one tap on each device to select location services. So that's kind of where we're at with zero-touch deployment. I think it's something that we're very close to. I still feel like we need a few more hooks. We need a couple of features in Apple School Manager. I'd like to be able to just set the password for the users. And I would like to be able to, when I assign an iPad to a user in my MDM, I would like to be able to just say, okay, and now also authorize their Apple ID on that device as well for them, right? Because I created the Apple ID, I should be able to just put it onto the device without the user having to go through that as well. And I kind of get Apple's privacy stance, but I also think there's a little bit of a clash between a high level of regard for student privacy versus the genuine need, particularly in middle school and elementary school, primary school stages, administrators needing access to users' devices just to fix things that the users don't even understand what they've done. And it's quite a common thing in school for people to say, you know, I'm going to leave you my iPad while I go to PE or I go on a trip. Could you fix it by the time I get back? And in a world where, you know, maybe you're using a shared iPad or the user's got their own password or something set up, then it's going to become more difficult for administrators to do that. And we're going to probably spend a lot more time using the clear passcode command on the MDM just to get those jobs done. So be it. It's not the end of the world. So that wraps up our show about zero-touch deployment. By the time Bradley's back and we talk about this again, I can probably report to you whether or not this actually worked. But I've been practicing it with a few iPad minis that we have in device enrollment here, and I'm fairly confident we can get to a place where we can do most of the work except for installing apps without ever having to seriously touch the device. And for those younger users for whom we do want to fully set up the apps, it's probably not going to be that difficult beyond that as well. So thanks to our two sponsors, Jamf Software and XMA, and we'll talk to you all next time.